chapter 5. This morning our message is not so much a textual message, but a topical message, as you will see. Let's just read those two verses in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians in the verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. With your Bibles open, let's just pause for a word of prayer. Father and our God in heaven, we come now to Thy Word. We come now, Lord, to look at Thy Word and to study it. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared for the sowing of the seed of Thy Word. That it would take root and spring forth unto life and godliness. That we would be those who walk in Thy way, who seek after Thy face, who seek to please Thee in all that we do. And Lord, as we come together, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that pleases God? And as we know what pleases Thee and what You desire, then we know how we ought to live. And Lord, we realize that right thinking and right doctrine will always lead to right living. Lord, we think of Paul as he wrote to young Timothy, you are fully persuaded and have fully known my doctrine, those things which he believed, that which he set forth, that which he taught. But Lord, he followed that up by saying his manner of life and purpose. His doctrine, the truth of God's Word, gripped his heart, governed his mind and his thinking, guided him in his way. It gripped him and he walked in the ways of the Lord. So Lord, may we be those who know the truth and who walk in the truth. Lord, help us to know Thy doctrine, the faith in Jesus Christ. Help us to know the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. Help us, Lord, to enter into that personal relationship that we can have in knowing Thee and communing with Thee day by day. Lord, Thou hast promised to speak to us through Thy Word. You have in these last days spoken to us by Thy Son, Jesus Christ, the Eternal Word. And we pray now, Lord, that You would guide us as we come to Thy Word, that we would be those seeking to please Thee in all that we say and do. Give us, Lord, that willingness to step forward for Thee and to face the difficulties and the trials with the help and the power of God. And Lord, even in our weakness, You can take us up as instruments in Your hand and use us as Your vessels unto honor. Lord, fill us each and every one with Thy Spirit. Lord, those that are trusting in Thee, who believe in Thee, may they know Thy power in the inner man. May we be strengthened with all might in the inner man. May there be that interior principle of spiritual life within the soul. And Lord, we would be those who dwell in Christ and upon His love and seek to know His fullness in our lives day by day. So Lord, come now, meet with us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now next Saturday night, the historic rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar, will open here in Prince George, and will probably have rave reviews and see a great success. There's no question to the talents of those men, the musical abilities and the talents of the men who have put together such a production. But this Broadway musical, it is an opera, and the show is a dialogue in the form of song, and the main characters in that play, in that production, being the Lord Jesus Christ, Judas, Mary Magdalene, and the apostles. And the whole story is based on the last seven days of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, leading up to His death and crucifixion. Now, any work based on the last 7 days of the Lord Jesus Christ and looking towards His death is going to be emotive to Christians. It's going to appeal to them. It's going to be important to them because of the deep feeling that they have for the Lord and for His cross. So when we view the last 7 days of Christ, it is very important to Christians. Now, if people are going to see this production, it is important then that they also receive a proper presentation of the Son of God, of the truth of God's Word. It is important that they get the truth and get the message. And herein lies the main problem, the reason why we oppose it, and the reason why we stand against it. Because this production, although it bears the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not truthfully represent the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a misrepresentation of the life and of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in the hours leading up to His death. And what will be seen in that theater on Saturday night is not true of the Scripture and is not true of the real Jesus Christ. Still, many people are taken in by it. Many people have come to accept it as gospel truth, as the truth, as the accurate story. But you will realize that this production is not a portrayal of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, as you examine it in the light of Scripture, you will see it is a denial of the Lord Jesus Christ and a betrayal of Him, just as Judas Iscariot betrayed Him. And this morning I simply want to leave before you some considerations which are true of this production of Jesus Christ, the Superstar, and three main reasons why we oppose it and why we believe it is not the truth, but rather it's stooping to the level of Judas. The first reason is, the most important reason is, that it is theologically incorrect. You will notice, and it has been recorded, that there are some 194 contradictions between the lyrics of Superstar and the Word of God. It doesn't follow accurately the Word of God. Indeed, it is far from the truth. But it is the claim of those who relate to this production that it presents the true story. It is gospel truth, that it closely follows the true biblical account. It should then, under examination, live up to those claims. But as you examine it, you will see that it is far from scripturally accurate or even historically accurate. When you examine this show in the light of Scripture, it comes up very short of the truth. You will realize that the production depicts the Lord Jesus Christ in a way which questions His divinity. The production denies the supernatural person of Christ, of His work upon the cross. The author himself doesn't deny this. The author, Tim Rice, who is on record as saying, "The whole idea of the opera is to have Christ seen through the eyes of Judas, and Christ as a man, not as God. And the fact that Christ himself is just as mixed up and unaware of exactly what he is as Judas is." The denial of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we are to know the real Jesus, we need to know the real truth. And we need to know the real Jesus who is set forth upon the basis of scriptural truth, the Bible. We come to examine the Word of God. And in the Word of God, you will see, contrary to what Tim Rice says, you will see that Jesus Christ truly is God. He is God. If you turn over to John chapter 1, John chapter 1 and the verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Direct reference here to the Lord Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 16, you read there and you will discover there a very important verse which relates to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into a glory. The great definition of the gospel there. The Lord Jesus Christ is presented. God manifest in the flesh. And as Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of the divine nature, that divine essence, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a God. And so we recognize His deity as well as His humanity. And the only way we can know the real Jesus is to look at His life in light of Scripture, to listen to His Word, the Bible. But Tim Rice has presented Christ as a mere man. He has Mary Magdalene say, He's just a man. And He's presented as one who is mixed up and confused. And not only does the show present Christ as a confused man, but as an immoral man, as one to whom sin is attributed, as one to who enters into some immoral relationship with Mary Magdalene, and things are beyond his control. Things get out of hand. And Mary Magdalene in this production is portrayed as a prostitute. And these are the words she sings. I don't know how to take this. I don't see why he moves me. He's a man. He's just a man. And I've had so many men before. The Bible gives no basis for this. And although the Lord Jesus Christ is accused of entering into immoral relationships and of crimes, and even the production has Judas Iscariot, attributing crime and sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, as Judas accuses Christ of the crime, of sin, of using Judas for his foul and bloody crime. And Judas says, My God, I am sick, I've been used, and you knew all the time, I'll never know why you chose me for your crime. You murdered me. They attribute great sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the biblical evidence is that Jesus was all that He said He was. And He did all that He said He did according to His divine plan. And even when Judas, you remember when Judas Iscariot went to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the Sanhedrin, you know the story. He delivered up the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. But what evidence did Judas bring to the Sanhedrin? He didn't bring any damaging reports of the Lord Jesus Christ's character. He didn't have any dirty laundry to air out. He had no dirt, if you like, on the Lord Jesus Christ. All Judas could reveal was the whereabouts of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would be found in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas would lead them to Jesus. He had nothing to reveal about Christ but His whereabouts, His location. And even Judas himself, if you look there in Matthew 27 in the verse 4, Judas has to admit, and he confesses there in Matthew 27 verse 4, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. Betrayed innocent blood, and they said, What is that to us? See thou to it. Judas knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect, harmless Son of God. And there was no damaging statements, no dirt. And this is proof of the pure supernatural life of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His impeccable life. He was God, God manifest in the flesh, the one who knew no sin, the one who did no sin. And this production is an attack upon the impeccable Savior of sinners. You turn over to, look at that portion we were reading this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says there, He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ had no fault within Him. You turn over then to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 22. It tells us there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, He was one who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. He who then, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself. He committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. The impeccable Savior, who did no sin, who knew no sin. He was able not to sin. Was able to resist temptation. But above and beyond that, He was not able to sin. It was impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to sin. So there is His deity, there is His impeccability. But the writers of this production put a question mark, not only upon those things, but also upon the voluntary sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the production has the Lord Jesus Christ presented as a sad and tired Christ, as one who was mixed up and confused, not sure if this was the way to go, as one who struggles with His humanity and divinity. They have Jesus Christ say, they attribute these words, these abominable words to the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, as they make this His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, they say, "Show me. Show me there's a reason for you wanting me to die," as He's praying to His Father there. "You're far too keen on where and how and not so hot on why. After all, I've tried for 3 years, seems like 90. Why then am I scared to finish what I've started? What you started, I didn't start. God, thy will is hard, but you hold every card. I will drink your cup of poison, nail me to the cross, and break me, bleed me, beat me, kill me, take me now before I change my mind." And that is the total opposite word of what the Scripture tells. Because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ never did say such things, never did think such thoughts. In Him was no guile. The Lord Jesus Christ never turned back from the cross. He set His face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He took up as a delight to do the Father's will. He set His face to go to the cross, that the plan of God would be accomplished, that sinners would be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ never turned back from His work on the cross. He fulfilled His Father's will. He did it freely. He did it voluntarily. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. Turn over to the book of Philippians. Philippians and the chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 says and tells us something of the mind of Christ. What was in His mind? What was in His heart? It says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He was God, therefore deity was not something that He had to snatch away. It was not robbery because He was equal with God. But then it says, He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He freely, voluntarily, deliberately went to the cross. He was in perfect unison with His Heavenly Father. As the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the Gospels, "It's my meat to do the will of Him that sent me." He delighted to do God's will. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Word of God tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, He prayed there. And He said, "Not what I will, but thy will be done." And He desired to do the Father's will. So there's a question put upon the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there is the question that we have to ask, why does Tim Rice leave the Lord Jesus Christ in the tomb? Why does Tim Rice leave the Lord Jesus Christ in the grave? Because that's where the production ends. That's where the play ends, with Jesus Christ dead. A dead and defeated Christ lying in the tomb and in the grave. And that, no doubt that was the aim. But the Bible tells us very clearly that Christ in great power did triumph over death, over the grave. He rose victorious. He ascended up into glory, as we've been reading there in the book of Timothy. And that the church of Jesus Christ, they serve a living Savior, the one who has triumphed over all. But this view of a Jesus as a weak, vacillating man is a lie. It's not the truth of God's Word. And that's why we oppose it. That's why we find it needful, or as Jude say, he found it needful or necessary to write unto them that they would earnestly contend for the faith. And this view of the Lord Jesus Christ, it comes from one who was possessed of a devil. The devil entered into Judas and he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Theologically, we see that this production is not correct, and we stand against it. But then ethically speaking, we see that this production is not right also. This production, Jesus Christ Superstar, it's not really about a ministry, but more so it's about the money. It's about financial gain. And every time the producers take up this production, they're stepping into the shoes of Judas Iscariot, selling out the Lord Jesus Christ for financial gain. That's what Judas did. But you know, people will say, what's the big deal? It's only entertainment. It's only a show. It's only entertainment. Well, that is the whole deal. Because these people that take up this production, they're making profit from the gospel. It's to make money from the gospel or the person of Christ. They're stooping to the level of Judas. In 1971, it was a box office hit. In 1973, it was made into a movie. It's gone around the world for over 30 years to more than 15 countries. It's not about the ministry presenting the truth of Jesus Christ. It's all about the money. It's not a non-profit ministry, but it's a cash grab. And there's no denying the people that produce it. They'll not deny that it is entertainment. It's show business. There are rave reviews. It's come by popular demand, but I would say that the interest in it is because of financing. There's a great promotion on to sell the seats and the tickets, and it's all about marketing and money. And that's show business. It's not helping the poor or are interested in taking the gospel light to the souls of men. It's establishing men and lifting them up and making them to be something. It's a matter of rich men getting richer. Not only to abuse the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is a deliberate misrepresentation. It is sacrilege and it is blasphemous to think of what they're attributing to the Lord Jesus Christ and making profit from it. Ethically, it is not a right. It is a blasphemous thing to twist the truth of God's Word and to sell it off for entertainment and for profit. But then just finally, when you look at it evangelistically, when you desire to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, when you desire to be an evangelist, this production will make life very difficult. It makes it very hard because the truth concerning Christ is not presented. And people are being deceived to believe and to think that this is the true account. This is the actual gospel. And this is a sellout of the Lord Jesus Christ to non-Christians who need a Savior, who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And how are we to reach those people who are getting mixed messages and they're so confused and they don't know where to turn? How are we to reach people with the message of the true Jesus when these false teachings are being set forth, when these false gospels are being popularized? You know, the Lord tells us in Matthew 24, in the verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were possible that they shall deceive the very elect." Matthew 24, verse 24. And Superstar is one of those false Christs. It's not the Christ of the Bible that is being presented, but rather it's Satan's counterfeit. If you look over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you will see that it is Satan's desire to present in verse 4, chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, it's his desire to present another Jesus, a different Jesus. He doesn't want you to know the real Jesus. He doesn't want you to know the true Jesus. "For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which is not accepted, ye might well bear with him. There is another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit that is being presented. What is the result of that? Well, there's confusion and the people are mixed up. You look in verse 13 of that chapter, it talks about, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. People are being confused. They're not accepting and receiving the truth in this production. They're not recognizing that this is not the true Jesus of the Bible that is being presented. And so as a witness, for me as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, life is made very difficult in trying to present the true Jesus when these false Christs are being set up. You know, that's the design of the devil. The great design of the God of this world is to keep people in darkness, that they would not know the truth, keep them from seeing the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it tells us there in the verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why is he doing that? It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord. And we who have received and come to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, when God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light, to give knowledge of the truth, has opened our eyes and our understanding to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to know God in the face of Jesus Christ, we rejoice. But it's Satan's design to keep people in darkness. Our duty is to be evangelists, to make known the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's needful and necessary that we stand for it. As a Christian, it's a privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to know the eternal Son of God, to know Him personally, to have His Spirit in your heart. And it's not Jesus Christ superstar you need, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that people need. That's the only Savior. Only Christ can save. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. It comes down to the question, what think ye of Jesus? Your rejection or exception of the Lord Jesus Christ will determine your eternal destiny, will determine where you will spend eternity. All comes down to what you think of Jesus, what He means to you. What think ye of Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, what will He think of me? And so we will, by God's help, be a witness and ambassador for Him. We will be giving out some leaflets concerning and considering the production Jesus Christ Superstar. We will quietly take our stand for the Lord because we realize that the truth is not being represented. And this production is Satan's misrepresentation of the Scriptures and of the Bible. It's always been Satan's desire and his design to put a question mark upon everything that God says. You look right back to the Garden of Eden, the days of Adam and Eve. Yea, hath God said, sowing the seed of doubt. Satan wants men and women to remain in darkness. It's not about money. We're all about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see Christ lifted up. Because as Christ is lifted up, men and women, boys and girls shall be drawn unto Him. Truth. The truth of God's Word. We are to buy the truth and sell it not. Because it is only by the truth that men and women are freed from bondage, from guilt. They find the peace of God. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.